verses 21 to 28. And in this reading, Jesus predicts his own death. It is found on page 973 in the Red Bible in the pews. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
I wonder what comes into your minds when I use the phrase self-denial. I suspect that self-denial conjures up different things for different people. During the week, I googled on the web for the phrase and I came up with all kinds of different responses to what self-denial was all about. For example, one of the search hits was to an encyclopedia article about self-denial in the monastic movements, and it described how monks would whip themselves and wear shirts made of rough goat's hair in order to restrain the flesh, to tame the desires of the flesh. The monastic movement is built on the concept of self-denial. Now, in the Christian circles in which I move, and I suspect that you move, I think that kind of self-denial isn't all that common. We don't kind of go home and flagellate ourselves to mortify the flesh. One of the other search hits, though, was a little bit closer to home. It was about Lenten self-denial. In some Anglican circles, people practice self-denial during Lent. In case you haven't noticed, we're in Lent at the moment. Lent is the 40-day period leading up to Easter. In a parish that I used to be in, an older minister used to give up alcohol during Lent. Now, I think it was a very commendable thing, but we don't want to knock it, though I did notice that there was a very interesting side effect of this. You see, this church had three very full communion services on Easter Sunday, and in the practice of that church, the minister drank all of the leftover communion wine. As a result, this man who hadn't touched alcohol for more than 40 days was, shall we say, a little bit affected by the end of the third service, so much so that his wife had to become the designated driver on the way home. Now, once again, this kind of Lenten self-denial is not something that I suspect that many of us practice. I mean, I for one haven't given up anything for Lent. I won't ask, but I don't suspect that if I asked for a show of hands, there'd be too many people who've given up alcohol or chocolate or something like that for the period of Lent. Felicity did joke during the week that she had given up ironing for Lent, but somehow I don't think that actually counts as self-denial. It occurs to me that for most of us, self-denial is not one of the things that we naturally associate with what it is to be a Christian. And I want to say that that is a problem. And it's a problem because Jesus says that self-denial is essential to being a Christian. As we continue our sermon series this morning on the radical teaching of Jesus, we're going to see what Jesus says about self-denial. We're going to see that self-denial is not something for masochistic monks, nor is it just something that you practice during the 40 days of Lent. Rather, self-denial is an ongoing way of life for every single follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, in order to make sure that we hear what Jesus is saying about self-denial this morning, can I encourage you to have your Bibles open in front of you? We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, which you'll find on page 973 in those red Bibles. You might also find it helpful to have the sermon outline. The sermon outline is printed on a white piece of paper inside the bulletins you received as you came in. Now, the key verse for us in this passage in Matthew 16 is verse 24. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. However, in order for us to work out what self-denial means for you and I, we've got to go back one step and work out what does self-denial mean for Jesus. Jesus' teaching about self-denial comes at a very significant point in the story. Just prior to this, the disciples have worked out for the very first time who Jesus really is. Back in verse 13, Jesus had asked them, who do you say I am? And they reply, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say the prophets, and so on. And then Jesus puts them on the spot and says, who do you say I am? And for the very first time, one of the disciples gets it right. Peter says, verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The disciples have finally got it. The penny has finally dropped. Jesus is the Christ. That is, he's the Messiah. He's the anointed king that God had promised would one day come and save his people. However, it's clear from what happens next in verses 21 to 23, it's clear that the disciples have only got it half right. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah, but he's not the kind of Messiah that they're expecting. They are expecting another king like great King David, who's going to rule in majesty from his throne in Jerusalem. But what kind of a Messiah is Jesus? Have a look at verse 21. Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now, we can see that the disciples are expecting something very different from the way that Peter responds in verse 22. He has the audacity to take Jesus aside and rebuke him. And he says, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You see, Peter is expecting a Messiah who's going to be a triumphant king, who's going to come into Jerusalem like the crowds expected on Palm Sunday. As the crowds expected, Jesus was going to come and take the throne in Jerusalem. He was going to overthrow those hated Romans. Jerusalem was one day going to be, was again going to be a world power. The very last thing on their minds was a suffering and dying Messiah. Peter wants Jesus to have all the glory and the power without the shame of the cross. Now, we might be somewhat taken aback by the strength of Jesus' rebuke in verse 23. He says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Now, the reason why Jesus is so stern with Peter is because at this point, Peter is actually being an unwitting ally to Satan. Do you remember how Satan tried to tempt Jesus at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry? He took him up on a high mountain, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, all this you can have if you bow down before me. You see, Satan was offering Jesus a worldly kingdom if he would submit to Satan. And Peter's words are a repetition of the same kind of temptation. Yes, Jesus, you can be an earthly king with all the power and the might. Just come into Jerusalem. And I take it Jesus could have done that if he'd wanted. If Jesus had played his cards right, he could have used the popular momentum that was building in Jerusalem and stormed into Jerusalem and become king. But it's clear from Jesus' response that he will not take this route. For Jesus, there is no bypassing of the cross, as tempting as that may have been. The option that Peter wants for Jesus is obviously what's in Jesus' own interests. But Jesus chooses the things of God over the things of men. Self-denial for Jesus meant him putting aside what was best for him. In fact, giving up his very life in order to die on the cross for you and I. That is what self-denial meant for Jesus. Now, it's in the context of all of that that Jesus says, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Clearly, our self-denial is going to be somehow patterned on Jesus' self-denial. To work out what it means for us, let me draw your attention to the three clauses of verse 24 in turn. In the first clause, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, and I want you to notice the word anyone. That is, if anyone wants to come after Jesus, if anyone wants to be a follower of Jesus, then they have to do what Jesus says next. Let me put it another way. Every follower of Jesus must deny himself or herself and take up the cross. If you're not doing this, then you're not really a follower of Jesus. Don't think I'm being harsh. I'm just telling you what Jesus says. If anyone wants to follow me, they've got to deny himself, herself, take up their cross and follow me. Self-denial is not some optional extra for those who are into a bit of self-mutilation or those who just like the idea of giving up alcohol for 40 days. Self-denial and taking up the cross, according to Jesus, are essential marks of what it means to be a Christian. But what does that mean? What is self-denial? Denying self means doing what Jesus did. Just as Jesus gave up his own autonomy in order to do the will of his heavenly Father, we need to do the same. You see, we know that Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Remember his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. I'm sure Jesus was tempted by the option of the grandeur of being king in Jerusalem. But self-denial meant not pursuing what was best for him, instead submitting to the will of his heavenly Father. And that is the thing that a person has to do in order to become a Christian. That is to say to the Lord, I no longer rule my life. I will submit to you. I'm not going to do what's best for me. I want to do what you want me to do. Intrinsically, being human means we want to be in control of our lives. And more to the point, we want to deny the Lord's right to tell us how to live. Denying self is that initial step that a person has to take in order to become a Christian. That is to say to God, I surrender my life to you. That's what self-denial means. If we were to paraphrase the first part of verse 24, Jesus isn't saying, if anyone would come after me, he must wear a goat's hair shirt and give up alcohol during Lent. Jesus is saying, if anyone would come after me, he must surrender himself to me. He must submit to my lordship, just as Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus is making exactly the same point when he talks about taking up the cross. I think this is a metaphor that we've actually trivialised in the way that we use it in modern usage. I mean, have you ever heard people say, oh, well, we've all got our crosses to bear. Maybe great Aunt Bertha has just been telling you about her arthritis and her back pain, and then she says, oh, well, I guess we all have our crosses to bear. Let's be very clear about what Jesus is talking about here. Bearing the cross in verse 24 has nothing to do with putting up back pain or sore joints. Taking up the cross for Jesus was literal. He carried on his back the instruments by which they would kill him. Once Jesus took up the cross, he was a dead man walking. And that's what Jesus means for us too. When we are going to be his followers, our life, your life, my life, is forfeit. We no longer live for ourselves because our life has been handed over to another. But Paul, I think, got this right. I'm sure Paul got this right. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, listen to how Paul talks about what it is for him to be a Christian. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but rather Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to take up the cross. We're now saying, my life is not my own anymore. I've actually handed over to another one. It now belongs to the Lord Jesus. Taking up the cross and following Jesus means such a radical dying to self that the life that we now live becomes one in which the Lord Jesus lives for us, lives through us. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Denying self and taking up the cross are two ways of talking about the same thing. The moment of dying to self is when a person stops living for themselves and says, I want to submit to the lordship of Jesus. I want to become a Christian. But, obviously, this can't be something that is just a one-off event. In other words, you can't say, oh, well, there was one point in history where I said, yes, I want to submit to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I'll hand my life over to him and then go on living every other day of your life exactly the same without any difference. This one-off event of dying to self necessarily implies that we have to keep on putting it into practice, a daily denying of self. Did you know that the parallel passage to this one in Matthew 16, the passage in Luke chapter 9, in that passage Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Hear the difference? Matthew 16, he must take up the cross, a one-off taking up the cross. Luke 9, you must take up the cross daily. You see, both things are true, aren't they? One must necessarily lead to the other. I took up the cross the day I became a Christian when I said, Jesus, reign in me and I want you to live through me now. I don't want to live for myself anymore. That day I died to self. But of course, I have to keep on taking up the cross daily, don't I? Because it's all too easy to slip back into the habits of living for myself and living for what's best for me. I have to keep on dying to self on an ongoing basis. And so do you if you are a Christian. You must take up the cross daily if you want to demonstrate the truth of the fact that you have indeed taken up the cross. The way that you continue as a Christian is the way that you became one. We have to keep on making the decision. Will I live for self today, or will I die to self so that Jesus can live through me? Will I daily follow the pattern of Jesus? Follow Jesus down that path of hardship and suffering for the sake of the salvation of others? Or will I take the comfortable path that's easiest for me and best for me? The Christian life is an ongoing self-denial for the sake of others, because we're walking in the path of the self-denying Saviour. Now, it seems to me that Jesus' message of self-denial is not particularly popular. Now, I guess you can understand why it's not particularly popular with non-Christians, because, well, that means self-denial means giving up the very thing that they love about this life. This life is all about me and satisfying my needs, and they don't want to turn from that. You can understand why self-denial is unpopular for people who think that way. But I suspect that it's also not a popular message for people who are in church. My fear is that in our churches we have created a culture of self-centered Christianity. We've told people, come to Jesus and Jesus will look after all your needs. Come to Jesus and you will find an abundant life. Come to Jesus and you will flourish and prosper. Now, at one level, I want to affirm the truth of some of that. Yes, Jesus said that it's only by coming to him that we can know life. If we come to him, we will find life in all its fullness. Yes, Jesus died for the sake of our deepest human needs. But at another level, that kind of a Christianity where we sell it as what Jesus can do for you ends up being a Christianity that's got me at the centre, that's got you at the centre, that's got self at the centre. It's the very antithesis of what Jesus is talking about in this chapter. Where is the radical dying to self in a message that's all about my self-fulfillment? It seems that, I think, in parts of the church, we've taken on the secular cult of self-fulfillment and we've baptised it and pretended that that's what it is to be a Christian. But the only way to find the kind of self-fulfillment that Jesus is offering is by losing ourselves and dying to selves. It's the paradox that's there in verse 25 in the passage. What good is it for a person to gain the whole world but lose themselves? The only way to find life is to lose it. The only way to actually find that full life is actually to hand all of life over to the Lord Jesus. Being a Christian means giving up my selfish ambitions and my dreams rather than expecting that God will bless them. What Jesus says in Matthew 16 is a hard lesson for us to hear, because it strikes at the very heart of our independence, our autonomy, and it does that for Christians as much as anyone. If you are a Christian, then by definition you have stopped living for self. Jesus is now Lord over your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. But the Christian life is an ongoing struggle to bring all parts of our life under the lordship of Jesus. We all have those parts in our life where we claw back control, where we resist letting Jesus be Lord over all. On the one hand, yes, we have died to self, and on the other hand, we need to keep on daily practicing a self-dying. Daily we have to take up the cross, praying, Lord, help me to take up your cross and follow you today, to live as your man, your woman in this world today, to not live for myself. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about us being living sacrifices. Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. As someone has wryly said, the problem with a living sacrifice is that they keep on trying to crawl down, back off the altar. That's what we are like as Christians. Yes, we are living sacrifices, offered ourselves to Jesus. And every day we try and claw down off the altar. We've got to keep on dying to self daily. Now, how are we going to respond this morning to what Jesus has said about self-denial? I think if you are a Christian, as I am a Christian, I think our response ought to be one of recommitment. To acknowledge before Jesus those parts of our life where we are still living for self, and surrender that to the Lordship of Jesus. To let Jesus reign in all. To take up our cross today. To daily die to self. And if you're not a Christian, then it's the same response, only you're making it for the first time. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.